Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11.
Yeah, wow. Hello, everyone. My name's Chris. This is Kira.
Hello.
Well, I'll tell you, it was some weekend of shows. On Saturday, Kira, you and I were discussing the fact that David Walliams, from Little Britain fame, of course, was utterly bemused by how the Late Late Show in Ireland works.
That's true, because Ryan announced to the audience that everyone in the audience was getting a loaf of bread,
which greatly confused him, I think. Also, as well as that, we were chatting about the fact that a Christmas tree fell on Kira.
Yeah, that's during the week. I'm okay though, guys, so just so you know.
Kira opened up about her traumatic event with us, and it was quite
very
powerful.
Yeah, it was. We were also talking about who should host the Oscars after Kevin Hart is not hosting the Oscars anymore.
And we were discussing Jay-Z's blunder, because I think Jay-Z tried to set up this scholarship. I think he had the absolute, this is no shade to him, I think he had the absolute best of intentions, but the money that he's put down isn't quite covering what I think the scholarship recipients thought it would cover.
Exactly.
If you understand me. And we were also discussing this Bridezilla story, the latest Bridezilla story.
And I think myself and Chris are just not buying those stories anymore. I think they're done. 2019, no more crazy Bridezilla stories.
No, I think it's all very fun and it's all very constructed to look as shocking as possible. But I think a lot of it is utter bollocks at this point, designed to get everybody annoyed and going, what an idiot this person is. But, you know, it's just too perfect. You know what I mean? It's too many things to hate. But anyway, listen, here you go. Enjoy. Kieran and I were laughing about this because, and this is no shade to the Late Late Show, but whenever there's someone from outside of Ireland on the Late Late Show, I think they're very bewildered by how the Late Late Show works.
Yeah.
Because we grow up with the Late Late Show. It's an institution in Ireland. Everybody knows what it is. Everybody respects it. It's awesome. Everyone knows how it works. You get free stuff. It's all part of the package.
It's so very Irish.
Exactly. But then when you have an outsider on, in the middle of it, who maybe has never, you know, if they're the type of person who might be quite famous and doesn't get a chance to watch the shows that they're going to be on beforehand,
yeah,
or anything. And so last night, of course, David Walliams was on. David Walliams, I think what really made him famous was Little Britain. Would it be fair to say?
Yeah, oh, 100%. Yes, yeah. And then of late, obviously, he started writing a really popular and successful children's books.
Yes. So, you know, and he's doing, he does a lot of kind of philanthropy and stuff, and he's,
I really like him.
I love him. I think he's great. And he does all the talk show circuits and everything. But, of course, David Walliams was on the Late Late last night. And one of the prizes on the Late Late, of course, was a loaf of bread.
Soda bread.
Yeah. And it's just interesting to see an outsider react to how we do things
but,
when it.
But I get it, though. Think about it. Imagine if you're on a talk show in Russia. And then they're like, oh, we're giving away a loaf of bread. And the crowd goes mad.
Sure.
You'd be sitting there going, what?
Giving away a loaf of bread?
Like, could you? But we have the clip there anyway, don't we?
Could you imagine if you went on Graham Norton and Graham Norton was like, and everybody's getting a bus pass. Do you know what I mean? It's just people would be like, what is going on? But anyway, David Walliams, and again, it's no shade. David Walliams is just a little bemused by it.
Emma's brown bread will be on the shelves of all 137 Aldi stores from tomorrow. To mark all of this, Aldi has given us a loaf of that beautiful soda bread for...
No, a loaf of bread!
No, wait.
You do right. Okay, look. Look, you do, obviously, you do the bread first and then you do the book. I mean, it's kind of disappointing.
Because they were giving away his book as well or something.
Yeah. After the book.
Wait.
How much is a loaf of
bread? Wait, I'm not finished, David.
Right.
I'm not finished.
You're getting a slice of bread to keep you going.
You obviously don't know the Late Late Show. We give away stuff like
right,
this.
Right, okay. What else are they getting?
And a 100 euro voucher for everyone.
Yeah, I do get David's point, though. Tommy should have led with the 100 euro voucher. I mean, is that not kind of the...
No, I understand completely what happened. Tommy had to get out what he had to get out.
He had to get his sponsorship line
and
out.
Then, what
available
a great,
in stores nationwide.
What
a great
way to end it. And also, not just a loaf of bread, but also a 100 euro voucher.
Yeah.
But David Walliams interrupted him, but I get it.
Somebody did make a good point. You don't get how the Late Late Show works.
Yeah.
That's how it happens here, pal.
Yeah.
We give away free things.
You're in my house now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a culture shock for David Walliams.
God, I wonder, did he get any free bread?
Probably. I'd hope so.
I'd hope so.
If he was a guest,
yeah,
I'd hope they gave him a loaf of it. And said, I hope he enjoys it and all that. But anyway, an interesting kind of look at how sometimes when something which is so normal to us, and we're like, oh, of course, it's late. You get one for everyone in the audience.
Yeah,
you get your free thing. And then he sees it and like, what? But anyway, it was actually a mental Late Late Show last night. Him singing with Michael Bublé and a proposal and all that. It was insanity.
Oh, there's a little part of me that was like, oh, a proposal on the Late Late Show before Christmas involving Michael Bublé. And then, remember, I'm embracing the Christmas spirit. And I went, well, that's lovely.
Well, you and I have been cynical of public proposals before.
We have.
Because they're a little done at this point. But I will say, if you're going to do a public proposal, it shows a lot of flex if you're able to get Michael Bublé to be in on it.
Exactly.
I mean, in fairness, if you're going to do it, fine. At least do it big. And David
congratulations
Wadgins.
To that couple as well, by the way.
Yes. Of course. Yes, indeed. Kira was telling me this story. And it really makes me ask myself, like, if it was kind of that thing where people are always like, oh, you know, immortality, living forever, having a street named after you, having a star constellation named after you. If it was this horrible animal I was to be named after, I'd have to go, oh, I mean, you know, it would be the name out there forever.
Yeah.
But I'm named after this hideous looking creature.
Yeah. So there is an auction going on today, actually, in New York. And it is run by the Rainforest Trust. So it's this non-profit group, and it's all about kind of discovering plants and protecting species and all that sort of stuff. So there's an auction on. And just to kind of remind people, Donald Trump has a moth named after him. The moth was found in Southern California. The researchers likened the yellow scales on the moth's head to the president's hair. And now it's known as Neopalpa Donald Trumpi.
So you see, that is objectively offensive. That's horse, to make fun of him.
There's a horsefly named after Beyonce.
Okay.
Michael Jackson has a crustacean to call his own.
Really?
Yeah. A spider bears Bernie Sanders' surname.
Okay.
You know, so 1.3 million species that humans have identified. Okay. So they have a long tradition of, you know, putting new scientific names on them, for example. So this auction will basically allow you to name a species from anything after your dog to your mother to pretty much anything. And the group says the money will be used to buy land where that species lives in an effort to save it from extinction.
See, I get this, right? And I get that when you discover, generally, like if you discover, we'll say, a new star or a new species of something or other or whatever, you're kind of allowed to name it. Like that seems to be the etiquette within the scientific community. If you find it, if you come up with it, you're allowed to put your mark on it. So obviously they're deciding to put that privilege out there for an auction.
Now, the minimum bid for each species is $10,000, Chris.
So hold on, it's a total of 12, right?
Yeah.
That are up for auction today.
They're trying to sell the rights to name 12 species. They started taking bids in November for this, and the new species are from Ecuador, Colombia, and Panama. And as I said, the minimum bid for each species is $10,000. Now, I know you probably haven't got my Christmas present yet.
Yes.
But how cool would that be? There's also a grey forest mouse with impressively long whiskers that you could name after me if you were to bid $10,000.
A
worm-like
mouse.
Amphibian, which I wouldn't really like to say the truth, and a burnt orange salamander with tiny legs. Which,
you see,
I mean,
like,
you know.
And firstly, the fact that there's 12 up for auction today is not exclusive.
There's four species of orchid. Now, I wouldn't mind being called after an orchid. So
those will be the big ones.
They will be the
They'll be the ones that everyone wants to be named after.
Yeah, they will. And also a reddish ant with a trap jaw.
Like, you look at these, right? And I wonder in what planet, unless it's somebody who's really into ecology or whatever, would be like, Kira, I spent 18 grand buying the rights to name this worm-like amphibian after you that basically looks like a puddle of pus on the floor. And now that's called the Kira is King Tri.
Yeah, I know.
And everyone will refer to it with your name for the rest of history.
I would kind of gravitate towards the four species of orchid. Now that'd be pretty nice to have an orchid named after you. So if you're a really rich man who wants to do something very romantic for me this Christmas, I wouldn't mind an L orchid being named after me.
That would be the move, wouldn't it?
Oh my
Because then
God.
Imagine any time you buy the girl that flower, you're buying her the flower named after her.
Named after
her. We literally go, oh, here's a bouquet of Kira Kings for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a move, in fairness. But I would probably only just about be able to get the worm-like amphibian if it went to auction. I'd be like, well, darling, I got you this horrible, grotesque-looking creature. And it's
But hey, you've got a species named after you.
And we're going to put a little kind of fish tank in the corner of the room, and then we can look at all of them reproducing and stuff and infesting the tank.
Well, the great forest mouse with impressively long whiskers wouldn't be the worst.
He might be cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the burnt orange salamander with tiny legs.
He sounds weird.
You know?
No, I don't want to be named after this. Absolutely not.
Oh, you know, a lot of people actually are objecting to this.
Why?
You know, they're saying that it's kind of not okay. That once you kind of go down this path, there's no coming back. And then suddenly everyone will be able to name a species after them.
You see, it could be kind of abused, and it'll be like, this is the RTE 2FM worm-like amphibian. You know what I mean? People will start using it to advertise things, and I'll be like,
well, it's like when companies put out what we name our boat.
There
what
you go,
we
exactly.
name our train, and it's like Boaty McBoatface.
This is the Wormy McWormface amphibian, sponsored by Coke. You know what I mean?
It'll
be. It'll become a little It'll become totally crass. Do you know what I mean? And I don't want that. But anyway, that auction is taking place today. We're all very excited. We'll keep an eye on it for everyone.
Well, I hope you are, Chris.
I'm going to put a bid in for the flowers for you, Ciara. If that doesn't work out, the worm is a possibility.
No, my luck, the orchid would probably be one of the worst orchids of all time.
It'll be poisonous.
It'll be poison. Yeah. You know, people are dying from having this orchid in their house.
It'll give everyone this horrible spore-carried, like, disease that, like...
Or it'll be like a talking orchid that doesn't shut up or something, you know?
Yes.
Like, that orchid's so annoying.
Or it'll destroy every plant in a flower box if you put it in there. Yeah, that's exactly it. Oh, yeah, we had to exterminate those completely.
Yeah.
We're desperate. But anyway, there you go. If you're in the market for a very unusual and horribly expensive Christmas present, this is what to do. You know what? I think we need really festive music, Ciara, for discussing what happened to you during the week. I can't believe this.
No, do you know what was really
Christmas was nearly ruined.
It was a Christmas miracle. No, I'm going to mess it. What was funny was last weekend, last week, me and you had recorded a podcast, which is up, by the way, on iTunes now, if you want to search for RTE Chris and Ciara and check out our Not Safe for Work podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, at the end of the podcast, Chris, do you remember, I was like, do you know what? I'm looking forward to Christmas this year for the first time in a long time, and I'm going to go to Christmas carols, and I'm going to get the Christmas tree in the house that I live in, and we're going to put lights on it, and we're going to ask the neighbours to come over.
No, listen, this is no joke. Ciara said she wanted to have like a turning on ceremony for her Christmas tree with all the neighbours.
And it was like one of those things where I was like, I can't beat it, so I'm going to join it, and I was going to celebrate Christmas. And
Ciara's like the mayor of Dublin, having a turning on of the lights in her house.
All right, Chris, all right. Anyway, so after that, after I skipped into town to have some mulled wine after announcing that I was back involved in Christmas this year, I was walking down a particular street in Dublin and I had my headphones in and I was listening to music. So the next thing I felt something kind of pushed aside. And honestly, I thought I was being mugged, right?
Go ahead, this music's really adding to this story. You thought you were being mugged.
I thought I was being mugged, but something kept on pushing on me from behind. You know that sort of way? Mm-hmm. And next thing, so my foot went from underneath me. And I realised that I'm on a really busy street with a Christmas tree on top of me. And then there's two very concerned ladies asking me, was I okay? And I had to, you know when you're so disorientated when you have your headphones in and you don't expect a Christmas tree to fall on you when you're walking down the street.
It's not something that happens every day, no.
It's not something that happens every day. But I honestly, I had to laugh because of what I'd said in the podcast about like really embracing Christmas and all that sort of stuff. And then a Christmas tree goes and falls on me as I'm walking down the street.
Yeah, so a Christmas tree literally launches itself onto you.
And then my housemates were really mad that I didn't get the Christmas tree for free.
Well, now you see, this is the thing, because I remember you mentioned this to Red, me and producer Red yesterday, and
well, you
it's
both
terrible.
Started roaring laughing.
Yeah, no, of course. I thought it was hysterical, but then also it shows how cynical Reg and I are and how we're not in the Christmas spirit, because we were like, did you get it for, did you try see if you get
you're
a tree?
You're not the
off
only them? One. Yeah. You're not the only one.
And then Ciara's just like, oh no, it's fine. A tree fell on me while I was walking down the street. Don't you worry. And are we talking now, this was a proper real tree?
That was a big, yeah.
Like no, real, we'll say 6 or 7 foot, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would take an awful lot to take me out, in fairness. Like, do you know what I mean?
And you fell over pretty much, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, like, because my foot went.
It knocked you to the ground.
But I got disorientated because I thought I was being mugged. Didn't realise a Christmas tree had fallen on me.
Yeah.
So then I kind of, my knee went from underneath me. So I'm kind of half on the footpath with a Christmas tree on top of me. And then two women come over who were selling the Christmas trees to help me up.
And were these the type of, you know, these the type of ladies that are kind of, you know, the ones that are usually shouting the price of the Christmas tree and doing the kind of the.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And how were they about it?
They were fine, but I got such a shock, I just kept on walking. I was like, oh, no, it's fine, don't worry about it. And then I was like, walking down the street, going, a Christmas tree just fell on me.
Yeah, you see, I would have been like, oh, Jesus, now, I mean, sure, oh, it's pretty, I mean, broken, it fell on me, you can't put that back on the shelf, can you? If you catch my drift. Do you have a permit to have these trees on the side of the street? Maybe I'll just take this one home with me. But Ciara, of course, is way too honest for any of that. It was just like, oh, don't worry, a tree fell on me, but
oh, my
I'm fine.
Broken in five places.
Listen,
but it's grand.
I know a GP, he'll do it. It's fine. It doesn't matter. You don't worry about it. But anyway, Ciara, of course, we're all glad you're okay. And that
51552, is there anyone out there that has had a Christmas tree fall on them? I bet you there has, by the way, when people come in late at night. They accidentally trip over the Christmas tree.
Yes. It sounds like one of those ads. Have you been injured in an accident at work? You know those ads are on in the middle of the day on like E and stuff. Ciara, you could be the spokesperson for one of them.
I could.
Christmas tree related injuries, sir.
Have you ever had a Christmas tree related injury? It's that time of year again.
Ciara's like a lumberjack experiencing trees falling on her as she walks down busy streets. But anyway, look, Kira, we're all glad you're okay. I hope this hasn't, because I remember when we were recording the podcast, you said that you were going to put the tree up and light it on the 10th and have a little event.
Oh, now I have a Christmas tree phobia. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So will you be doing that event? Is yeah. that event cancelled?
No, it's not cancelled.
Oh, thanks. Thank God. Okay.
I still think it's weird, though, that a Christmas tree fell on me. And if you were to be anyways inclined, you might think it's a sign.
Christmas hates you. You know, never mind you hate Christmas. Christmas doesn't want you involved.
We don't
in Christmas.
Want Kira involved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah. YouTube can release regional statistics for all of their videos and stuff. So the list of the top 10 most viewed videos in Ireland for 2018 has been released. And it makes for sickening.
It does.
Now, I'll tell you right
there's
now.
There's some videos and you're like, all right, okay. I get it. I understand it. Like, there's a sports one in there. We'll start off with this one. Ireland's Got Talent. It was on last January and February. And a beautiful 81-year-old woman called Evelyn came on and she sang. And the whole country fell in love with her. So that is number 10 in the top most watched YouTube videos in
sure,
Ireland.
And no shade to her. Do you know what I mean? She was very cool. Not all of these are awful videos.
Her name was Evelyn Williams. She's from Tala and she was 81 years of age. And she stunned the judges. Because I remember that. So I do. The next one is a sports related video and it's into the top 10. And of course, I mean, it's Johnny Sexton's incredible 45 metre drop goal to secure the Rugby Grand Slam for Ireland, which was amazing.
Sure. And again, of course you'd watch that. 100%. Yeah.
Ryan O'Shaughnessy, obviously his performance of Together at the first Eurovision semi-final, that's at number 8. So that's interesting.
I get that. Yeah. I mean, everyone wants to know what our Eurovision entry is going to be. If it's going to be any good, we're going to check it out, of course.
A lot of people are into James Corden and his carpool karaoke videos. I've enjoyed a lot of them. Well, Irish people watched Ariana Grande's carpool karaoke with James Corden. And Irish people went mad for it. This one I don't understand, really. There's a vlogger called David Dobrik and there's an actress called Lisa Koshy, and this was the sixth most watched video in Ireland this year, and it's where they broke up.
There's these weird couples on YouTube. There's loads of these, and they just, and I mean, they document every second of their life.
That's horrendous.
There's a couple in Cork that are absolutely massive, and I mean, they are global.
Yeah.
And they both live in Cork and they do this weird kind of daily blog thing, and it's literally like, oh, we put some more grass feed on the grass, it looks a little greener now. Like, that'll be one of the videos, but they're phenomenal, they're huge.
This for me felt like it happened years ago, but do you remember the Yanni versus Laurel debate?
Oh yes. Where it was the clip was played and it sounded to some people, if you had a certain frequency of hearing, like the word Yanni, and then to other people it sounded like the word Laurel.
So it was kind of the 2018 version of the dress. Remember what colour is that dress?
Sure, yeah.
Father Ray Kelly, he did a really moving rendition of R.E.M.'s Everybody Hurts on Britain's Got Talent. So that was the fourth most watched video in the country this year. Do you remember the 12-year-old Irish busker that was filmed on Grafton Street? She was Ali Sherlock, was her name.
And I get why that would be big, because obviously an Irish person on Ellen with this level of notoriety, loads of Irish people are going to click into that.
She's
and say,
a Cork
hey, what's going
musician.
On here?
Exactly. Yeah, she was spotted 100%. By Ellen on the internet performing and she was invited onto the show. That's absolutely incredible. This one makes me just sad. This is the second most watched video on YouTube and it was Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott's video introducing their daughter Stormy to the world.
Well, that was huge news. I mean, I wanted to check that out and see what was going on.
Oh God, the video is called To Our Daughter. And they released it, I think it was last February or March or something like that. I don't know. But Chris, you take it away here because I know that you were kind of fascinated with this particular subject when it was unfolding last year.
Here he is.
So now that she is leaving,
the yodeling kid in Walmart is the number one video on YouTube in Ireland for 2018. This is the thing we all watched as a nation the most. Not a huge sporting event like Johnny Sexton's kick or, you know, our Eurovision entry or a great Irish singer on Ellen. This kid is what we... Oh, God. And then, of course, the remixes as well, which were a massive... Have you heard, Kira, the remix?
I don't think I want to.
This video...
Oh my God, it's got over 54 million views.
I was just going to say, has 54 million views on YouTube. It's the kids singing in Walmart, lowercase EDM remix. What do you think, Hugh? You getting down to this? I like this.
I close my eyes. I'm in a nightclub right now, you know.
DJ Jenny Green and the RTE Concert Orchestra will be covering this at their gig in the INEC tonight. They've got the instrumentation all done for the orchestra. The yodeling kid is coming to perform.
Oh, stop it, stop it.
This is like the rubbish we play, though, sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
Deal.
Sounds like half of the tracks we're playing.
Mason Ramsey.
Yes.
He's the 12-year-old who was performing a cappella version of Hank Williams' Lovesick Blues for customers in Walmart. Now he has signed a record deal with Atlantic Records and he's released his first single. I think we talked about it actually during the year on the show as well.
Yeah, we did.
So,
oh, yes.
There you go. That's what Irish people
as
watch
a nation,
the most as
a nation. That's what we thought was the most important thing this year that happened in 2018 that should be seen on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Now, Kira and I were just looking at a tweet that the gist of it was Oscar bosses, the people who run the Oscars, have asked Eddie Murphy to host it and they're hoping he says yes.
Yeah, they're hoping that Eddie Murphy says yes.
Something tells me if Eddie Murphy was legit asked to do the Oscars,
but like,
he's saying
Murphy
yes.
But Eddie Murphy relevant anymore?
That's even more reason for him to say yes, you know?
Well, that's true, actually.
I'd be thrilled if I was him.
Yeah,
getting an Oscar invite.
Kevin Hart was supposed to host the Oscars and now he's not. So myself and Chris are trying to come up with people who we think should host the Oscars. What about Ellen, Chris? She did it 1 year. Remember, she got that very famous photo?
Of
most liked
selfie. No, because they'll try some other rubbish like
they
that.
They will,
they'll try
they?
Some other viral moment of that. And I let me tell you something. I got sick of seeing that photo.
There was nothing more awkward than when Anne Hathaway and James Franco presented the Oscars that year. Oh my gosh, that was horrendous, wasn't it?
You know what? I'd nearly like them to do it again.
Yeah.
Just because sometimes...
There's not a chance James Franco's getting back on that stage, but...
Oh, maybe not.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway on her own would probably be kind of... Anne Hathaway and Eddie Murphy.
The pair
of them.
I can see how that would work.
That would be...
I saw people on the internet actually yesterday. They were like, what about Chrissy Teigen and John Legend? You're sick of them, aren't you?
Yeah, that would be
so
quirky.
I think John Legend would do a nice job of presenting. He's not a comedian, but he'd do a nice job of presenting the Oscars.
And they'd have funny, fun photos from backstage. Here's me and John getting ready for the Oscars, but she's like doing bunny ears behind his head or something.
Okay, what about...
I have an idea.
Barack Obama and Joe Biden together.
Now!
There we go.
Now we're talking.
Okay,
and you know, they're in the market for this type of, you know,
now,
publicity.
The people that run the Oscars were onto myself and Chris, but the two of us were like, look, we're pretty sick at the minute. We'll probably still be sick in February or March whenever the Oscars is going
to end. We think we're going to be
so
sick permanently.
So we're trying to think of other Irish representatives that we could send.
We sent it to Vogue Williams. We said Vogue Williams isn't presenting enough things. Mm-hmm. We said Vogue Williams needs to be on another thing on TV.
James
and the Oscar
Cavanaugh.
Bosses seem... Yeah, Vogue mm-hmm. Williams and James Cavanaugh are both going to be doing it as the Irish suggestions. Who would be a good Irish host of the Oscars if they were to really go wild with it? And like if... Fame wasn't an issue because we're like, we don't have a huge amount of AAA listers like Colin Farrell
or
whatever.
Colin Farrell could present the Oscars.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to though, and he'd like show
Colin
up and
Farrell and Donald Gleeson
moping
Ooh,
about it.
And then they bring Saoirse Ronan out on stage.
Yeah.
Saoirse Ronan and Donald
do
Gleeson.
An Aer Lingus
there you
sketch.
Go. No, Chris. We will never talk about that Aer Lingus skit again.
There's dogs on the Aer Lingus plane.
Donald Gleeson, Saoirse Ronan.
That's not the worst idea, actually.
Thank
yeah,
you.
And they're both big A-listers. Yeah, all right. We could suggest that to them.
Donald Gleeson has never been invited to the Oscars.
Has he ever been nominated?
No, but that's not the point.
So then, you tried to get an invite with him.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, that was really weird. And he dodged the question. He was like, if I ever get an invite, would... No, he was being diplomatic with you, I think.
He was.
I hope he gets an invite this year, though, and then you have to follow up with him. Donald did say
No.
Do you
know what would be amazing? If I got an invite to the Oscars and I ended up bringing Donald Gleeson. There you go. Boom.
That would be like when they describe George Clooney's wife, you know, first in the thing, and they're like, human rights lawyer marries actor and all that. They could do all those fun headlines.
Yeah.
Where it's like, broadcaster brings date, but the date is Donald Gleeson. Oh,
yeah,
it would blow everyone's mind.
Okay. I like Joe Biden and Barack Obama.
I think you're onto something. If they can't get Vogue Williams, I think they should then drop down to Joe Biden and Barack Obama.
There's Whoopi Goldberg. She's done it before.
Yes, she wouldn't be the worst. Still, all of these suggestions are more exciting than Eddie Murphy, if you understand me. And I know that we're not trying to throw shade or anything, but look, this is a bit of a disaster that Kevin Hart isn't doing it and they haven't locked someone else down yet. And everyone's going to be off over Christmas. I mean, maybe there won't be a host.
Billy Crystal. They always bring out old Billy Crystal.
Don't they? At
well.
These
yeah.
things. And it's weird. I don't know about you, but growing up as a kid, right, I don't know what he's famous for, but I just know he's famous and really well liked because he shows up at all of these things. You know what I mean? He's at all of these things and he's so revered, and everyone's like, oh my God, it's Billy Crystal. And I'm like, who is, what? Who's Billy Crystal? But hey, whatever. Perhaps
Steve Carell as Michael Scott from the US Office.
Wonderful, wonderful suggestion.
Idris Elba.
I would like Marty Morrissey and Joe Brawley to just go host the Oscars.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, it'd be incredible. But anyway, look, 51552 is the number if you want to get in contact to jump in on anything we're talking about here. Dara O'Brien would actually be very good.
Somebody says Tommy Tiernan and Dara O'Brien. There you go. I'd sell my hand to see that. That's from Ian and Clonmel.
That's decent.
And Mick says Dara O'Brien would be great.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, maybe Dara O'Brien is the consensus the nation wants.
Somebody else says Aisling B for the Oscars hosting gig. She'd be very, very good at it.
Nicolas Cage. Yeah, Nicolas Cage is who you need. Absolutely. Now, this is actually really funny. I don't know if... and listen, we're not going to get into this debate here of which office is better, the US office or the UK office when it comes to the TV shows.
Yeah, but no, just there recently, myself and Chris saw that there's an article going around about Jay-Z at the minute. And it's about how Jay-Z has set up a scholarship and seemingly the scheme doesn't give students enough money to even cover their school books.
Because when you think scholarship for college, because you see, in the US, college is like just kind of ballpark figure, 40 grand a year to go to college. Yeah, it's an enormous expense.
It's really expensive, yeah.
And then with accommodation and all that, it's another 10 grand. Like you're talking 50 grand a year to go to college in America. So yeah, it's an enormous thing. So when you hear scholarship, you think,
yeah,
paid, that paid for. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The rapper, he set up the scheme to help students to be able to afford third level education, but it has now been reported that the money given to some of the students was barely enough to cover books for their courses. This is according to the New York Post. The Sean Carter Scholarship Fund distributed $407,000 in college grants to 255 students in 2017, and the publication claims that a range of $1,000 to $2,000 was given to each student, with the money being paid directly to their colleges and barely been enough to cover the cost of books for the year.
And so listen, it's great that the man's trying to do something.
Well,
but
like, he's trying to do something.
But 1,000 or 2,000 a year in college fees, like, they're about 30 a year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even break a dent in it. So when you say the word scholarship, you think, oh, they're getting, you know?
Yeah.
Free college. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an amazing thing Jay-Z did? And then Kira and I were laughing because it reminds me of... This is a plot from The Office. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watch The Office in the US, but the lead character, Michael Scott, who's the office manager.
He's played by Steve Carell.
Yeah, and he tries so hard to be likable and to have people like him, and he'll lie to make people like, and he's not manipulative or anything. He just desperately wants to be loved. And there's a plot line where he promised a whole class of children a scholarship 10 years ago and then isn't able to follow through on it. So then the school rings him asking about the scholarship, and then this is just, I mean, this is what it's like.
Local businessman pledges college tuition to third graders.
So this is another character reading an article in the paper from 10 years ago, and then the plot is now, 10 years later, Michael has to pay for it.
Michael, why did you promise that?
To change lives?
No, Michael, why would you promise that?
You know, okay, I call the school, cancel. I can't go through with this.
We've already rescheduled 7 times. Michael, this is a terrible, terrible thing you've done.
Maybe this is the conversation Jay-Z's having with his people. Like, Jay-Z, why did we call it a college scholarship? We can't pay for any of the kids. He's like, I'll just... give him some money for books or something. Well, I don't know.
It's pretty interesting when Jay-Z made $79 million last year. You know, I just think that if you're going to put your name to something, do it properly.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
like,
do
this
it properly.
Is nonsense.
If you're going to, as you said, if you're going to promise kids a scholarship to college in America, well, then show up. Take a large chunk of what you earned in 2018, for example, $76 million, and maybe, you know, put your money where your mouth is.
I'm just looking here. If Jay-Z were to actually pay, you know the way there's 255 kids in the scholarship? If Jay-Z were to actually pay the actual cost of college per year for all of the kids, it would be $7.6 million a year. So Jay-Z's probably bitten off more than he can chew here.
Wow, okay, that's a lot
it would
of
be
money.
$7.6 million per year for whatever, we'll say 3 or 4 years of college. So, like, $30 million.
$30 million, okay. That's a lot of money, but I just, if you're going to do something like that, just do it properly. That's just my opinion on
of
it.
Of course. Anyway. No, Jay-Z's like Michael in Scott's Tots. Yeah. He's like, oh, I don't want to go. We have to pay them. But anyway, we were looking at this, right? And don't get me wrong, I love these insane bride stories as much as the next man.
Do you know, it's just something, like obviously myself and Chris have been doing radio for a very long time, and these bride stories, it's never about the groom either, these bride stories have just kind of escalated really in the past couple of years. There's always some, this is what this crazy bride did to her guests at her wedding, or this is what this crazy woman did to her bridesmaids, and yeah, I've got to say to her, I'm like, I don't think these are true.
Listen, Kira, it's a nice excuse to hate women, isn't that it?
Do you know what I mean?
Isn't that all we're looking for these days?
But it just seems to be, there seems to be one every week, doesn't there?
And I think this one,
you know what,
this,
I've been to a lot of weddings and this crazy stuff didn't happen, so.
This latest one is constructed to annoy people, yeah. Definitely. I mean, this is just an example
of. It involves a couple of things. It involves breaking people's waist down.
Yes.
And making them wear particular clothes in this designated waist bracket. Like, seriously.
So she made basically a post on her, or this is what allegedly happened. Because so anyway, this was leaked onto a subreddit online, and it's a screenshot of a Facebook post from this bride-to-be. And she's saying, if you're attending the wedding, here's what I'd like. Women between 100 and 160 pounds wear this. Men between 100 and 200 pounds wear this.
Now,
and
she breaks it all down. Yeah, what she was asking them to wear was ridiculous.
Because it's a wedding in Hawaii, apparently, and it's a themed wedding.
It's a themed wedding, and she's actually asking people to wear Louboutin shoes, and they cost a pretty penny.
And they're expensive, yeah. So anyway, this went viral. It did the rounds. Everyone was like, oh my God, look at this crazy bride.
And also, though, listen to this. Like, children were instructed to wear red from head to toe because they had to form the shape of a heart in a synchronized dance that they were planning to do on the beach. You know, so straight away, I'm beginning to smell a rat here. I'm like, right, okay, she's, you know, claimed that she wants people to wear these ridiculous items. Like, ridiculous items.
Yes.
All the kids have to wear red because they're all going to take part in a synchronized dance on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God, I don't know. But anyway, seemingly she got wind of the fact that this leaked and made it onto Reddit, and she came out.
And she put up another post.
This was her response to it. She said that her requirements of clothes were taken out of context and she felt crushed and betrayed. So if that was legit, okay, if that's what the plan for her wedding was and then I made it onto Reddit, you'd be like, okay, well then somebody leaked this in our wedding party. But you know what they decided to do?
Yes.
She said she created a pre-wedding party where everyone would take a polygraph test to work out who leaked the Facebook post. And she said, if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. They just bought a real polygraph test for $99 on Amazon. And if you can't make it to the polygraph party, you will be presumed guilty unless you can provide a valid excuse.
She says, "As promise, as long as you're innocent, you have nothing to worry about. But I highly suggest whoever did this just told me. I won't retaliate. I'll simply cut all ties in communication with you and talk S about you for a long, long time. And if you have any information about who violated my trust and my wedding planning, I'll give you $100. Mm-hmm. It becomes stupider as this goes on.
So I got as far as there and I remember turning around to you and I was like, Chris, this is not true. And this is what nailed it for me, okay?
Yeah.
My husband and I are certified spiritual healers with over 10 years of experience. You all know this. Our wedding colours, fabrics and intimate synchronised dance are something we hold very dear to our hearts.
And you see, this is another thing Reddit hates. Reddit hates alternative therapy and it hates all of this kind of kooky pseudoscience. This was designed to annoy people.
Well,
nothing
the expensive
more.
Clothing, she said, represented riches we wish to come. The black and camouflage that she was getting people to wear was the aura of the devil that we must shoo away.
Yeah.
And the soda hats represented our wishes for an abundance of life-saving liquid. And then this is the clinger for me, or the clanger for me, excuse me. They met at a psychic desensitization chamber 12 years ago in Italy. And they merely wished to bring their traditions and beliefs into their special day.
This is just a post designed to annoy people and cause revulsion and disdain. And, oh, they're into alternative therapy. Oh, they want everyone to be in really expensive clothes. Oh, this bride is such a, you know.
Yeah.
It's all just designed to annoy the person reading it.
Yeah.
This is no more real, I would say.
Than the
and
man of
everyone
the moon.
Has fallen for it. Big news outlets are taking this on. And it's very obvious that, see, Reddit has a certain type of thing that you can do well on Reddit with. And they love these stories of people who are unreasonable, but who are also, in their minds, stupid. Because they believe in, like, alternative therapy. Or they believe it. Don't get me wrong, I think that's crazy as well. But you know what I mean. These things are designed to anger the person reading them. And I think we'd all be very gullible if we believed after her response that this is real.
And am I right, though, Chris? There's an article like this every week.
Always about a crazy bride.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Because it's fun. It's fun to be like, oh, Jesus, isn't she silly? So, you see, I only believe it when, because then one of the articles that we were reading online about this, because Kira and I, we did our research, let me tell you. Sometimes when they post a clip of an actual person talking, as in on a TV show or whatever, I say fine, or I say, okay, that was constructed for the TV show. But sometimes it's just outrageous. Do you know what I mean? When you get a post like this, no one knows who the person is. There's no pictures of the person. There's no pictures of the wedding invites. This is just to annoy people, in my opinion. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. 50552, has anyone ever experienced a wedding like that? Oh, I haven't.
Now listen, I've been to a few weddings as well. We were both in that kind. Here, this is a clip actually that will kind of...
It's sort of just friends and family, close friends and family, yeah. A registry office in Coventry.
Yeah.
And then you had another, and there were people that said that they couldn't come to that and you were furious with them because they couldn't come. You've already got married like three times. It's the fourth wedding. Why do we have to keep coming? And so you fell out with people over that. And then you had another one, a big white wedding at the Grosvenor in London, 13 bridesmaids, two dresses. And so you made your sister to wear heels for that, even though she pleaded with you
not to. She wanted to wear flats, yeah. I wanted everyone to wear the same colour heels, the same style, and I think if one heel looks out of place, it's going to ruin the look. And so I begged my beautiful sister to please wear heels.
So you do get the very odd case of a bridezilla and they get them on TV and all this, but when it's just a Facebook post and everything, I think that one was definitely designed to anger people. But listen, maybe we're wrong, maybe there are these people in Ireland. I don't know. I've never met one.
I've never been to one. No.
And you've been bridesmaid at a few things.
Mm-hmm.
You never had to wear Louboutin heels and do a synchronized dance on a beach?
No, God.
No, okay,
thank
great.
God. Well, my friends are lovely.
Ah, well, my goodness. How do you top that?
I don't know.
Every
and
week.
The fact that we did it, Chris, and we were sick and we still showed up, you know?
I tell you something. I mean, are we not company people? Company men and women here, the two of us, showing up even when we're sick, which is probably actually bad because then we just infect everyone else.
Exactly.
But listen, we will be back soon with the midweek podcast. For myself, Chris, goodbye from Kira.
Goodbye.
Chris and Kira, weekends from 11. I got